Hi, I'm Erica Ramirez, founder of Illy and host of What About Your Friends, a podcast dedicated to the many lives of friendship and how it's portrayed in pop culture. Every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, I talk to my best friend, Stephen Othello, and your favorites from within the Ringer and beyond about friendships on TV, in movies, pop culture, and our real lives. So join me every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, where we try to answer the question TLC asked back in the day, what about your friends?
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Cold open question of the week, Kaz.
Shoes.
Which daddy drama are you more excited about for this coming WrestleMania weekend? Dom and Rey Mysterio, or Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes with the specter of Dusty hanging over everything?
The Dusty stuff is a little tense to talk about, I guess. But I've never seen so many people rooting for child abuse like we are rooting for Rey Mysterio and Dom. So I'm going to have to say yes. I cannot wait. Is this the first father's... Well, Shane and Vince fought at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Is this the second ever father-son match in WrestleMania history?
I guess Vince Hornswoggle wasn't a WrestleMania match.
I don't think it was. But we love child abuse in WWE, don't we? We love it. I love a good ass-whooping of a child, right? Mm-hmm. And it's great because WWE is such a family-friendly... or attempts to be a family-friendly organization, that the fact that we just root for people to beat up their kids, it is the only place that this can take place is at WrestleMania. I love it. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
I'm trying to think what the other great father-son dramas, and like kayfabe father-son dramas in WWE are. There's obviously the Paul Bearer's fatherhood of...
Kane, I guess, yeah.
But they didn't fight. Right.
Well, Undertaker killed him, right? Didn't he like put him in like a cement truck?
He did kill him. That wasn't he wasn't in the match. That was the stipulation of the match.
Yes.
God, what else? I don't know. Bruno and David Sammartino never had a big match as far as I know. I could be totally wrong about that. I don't know. We'll have to think this through. There's gotta be obviously Stephanie and Vince fought in a big, but that wasn't WrestleMania. I don't know. We'll have to think about this. There's gotta be a better answer. Anyway, it's WrestleMania week. Let's start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to...
You're listening to...
And you are listening to...
You are listening to The Masked Man Show.
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 Welcome to The Masked Man Show with Kaz. I'm in a library, so I'm a little bit quiet right now. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. I'm ready for LA. I'm ready to get the moving. It's been a busy ass week, but I will feel so much better this time next week. I'll tell you that. With everything over, yes. Like once our shows are popping, the Wale Mania is popping.
Yeah, what's more stressful? The your role as a producer or your role as a talent?
It's equally stressful, but definitely the producer hat is a lot, especially this year.
We got Brian and Ben Cruz and Kerm, all those guys working behind the scenes for us. All we got to do is roll up, you know, like for as a talent.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward.
I show up 2 minutes ahead of time and I say, Brian, what should I ask?
What
Hulk
are we
Hogan?
Talking about? Those are fun. Doing the on-site interviews at like the WrestleManias and the SummerSlams and the Royal Rumbles, those are hella fun. Love doing those.
Mm-hmm.
But ooh, let me tell you something. Yeah, Wally Mania is no... It's definitely a load to lift, but I got a lot of help, and boy, I'll feel so much better this time next week when it's a success and it's all done and everyone had a great old time.
Yeah, same. But listen, I always stress out before I go, partly because I don't plan before I go. Like I said, I have a giant full schedule, all thanks to Ben Cruz and others. But when I'm going for like a week, usually this is just not interesting to anybody. But usually I just I don't even start making plans. You know, if I'm going to, Topeka, I'm like, who do I know in Topeka? I don't even think about that till I'm on the plane. You know, I wait till I'm in route. So now it's just this ambient anxiety. But no one cares about that because the real thing is it's WrestleMania week. We're going to go have a ball, man. We're going to hopefully see some of the people listening to this podcast at Tom's on Thursday at 5.
That's going
to
be great.
LA Live, everybody better be there. And we get to talk to a bunch of wrestlers and get to do Wally Mania. That's a lot of fun stuff coming up this week.
That's to say nothing of
two nights in a football stadium watching all of our favorite wrestlers perform. I say that, and yet one of our favorite wrestlers, the great Bob Lashley,
yes,
says that he doesn't have a match at WrestleMania. Now,
ooh,
there's been some rumors that there was going to be a night one thing to set up a night two match for him. Now he's been announced for the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is going to be on SmackDown, correct? And now people are theorizing maybe him and LA Knight get into it in that match and set up a match at WrestleMania. I think everybody would be totally game for that sort of thing to go down. I mean, all of this is sort of on the backdrop of Bray Wyatt being kind of unavailable for whatever unknown reason at WrestleMania after he had started to set up a sort of lackluster feud with Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the pinnacle of a WrestleMania conversation, but it is the news of the day. What do you think about Lashley's WrestleMania situation?
Well, it sucks because it seems like it was an unfortunate circumstance of Bray's injury, but I'm hearing chatter about a possible Randy Orton return also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that could be really cool.
That dropped Resery recording on Thursday and we missed it, but it was, yeah, there's a lot of talk that Randy's going to be back, and thank God he was at his peak when he left, one of his many peaks when he left. And there was some real concern about whether or not he'd ever actually make it back to the ring. So if he is indeed coming back, that's fantastic news.
If he does come back, it's just awesome because I feel like it was almost poetic, like right when he was like injured, I think they had just celebrated like his 20-year career. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to do that because like he's still so young relatively to all the other people that were celebrating 20-year anniversaries in WWE or that whole OVW class, which is like the 2003 NBA rookie class. It's like Braun, Wade, and Melo. Mm-hmm. It's like Batista, Brock, Orton, you know, that's their next 20 years right there. And on top of that, he started to becoming like an unironic favorite, right? Like he got to the point where he got past the point of, oh my God, this guy's been handed everything. Oh my God, another Randy Orton match. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And now he's put in so much work. He's at the point where it's like, oh damn, now Randy Orton's actually kind of awesome. He's been here forever. He's done everything.
So he's the Carmelo Anthony of this metaphor or whatever, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because he started off with all this hype, but there was always a little bit of, you know, some of the diehard fans weren't so sure about him.
There was
and obviously this would work out better if Melo had like a championship as the third best guy on the team last year or something like
that.
But he's kept plugging and plugging and plugging, and now people are in on Melo.
Yeah. And the same way, not to say that obviously Randy Orton didn't have a shit ton of fans, but it always came with like a weird caveat of him being this, you know, chosen one, golden boy, can't do anything wrong type of thing. And now it's like he's this cool ass old elder statesman that loves to smoke weed and is actually pretty chill instead of like the psychopath that he's played like for the past like 20, 15 years. It was my favorite story for the past like part of the pandemic and after the pandemic, right? It was like, wow, Randy Orton is really this big psychopath for 19 years of his career. He meets Matt Riddle, smokes a little weed, and all of a sudden he's the most chill guy ever and actually really nice. And it's like, if that's not a relatable ass story, I don't know what is, you know? So I'm really hoping for a Randy Orton return, even at either at WrestleMania or Raw after Mania, something this week. It's LA. Even if he just shows up, he don't even got to do a whole match. Show up, give me the hits, give me a couple of RKOs out of nowhere, and I promise you that place is going to go ballistic when they if they see him, man. I miss Randy. Miss Randy, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's really great. I mean, and part of the part of what makes Randy really work is two things. One, to be used correctly, right? Yes. I mean, he's not a single service sort of performer, but like, you know, I was in love with his, when he was with the Authority and he was sort of playing a dim bulb, like playing, like leaning into the public perception about him. And then I think recently in the past, his last big run with Matt Riddle and also solo, he really started, I don't know. It's sort of like he came into his own. He sort of fully wrapped his head around what made him so great and was able to use that. So yeah, I'm excited to see him back. It will be interesting.
Even more so than that. Like, I think his partnership with Riddle made him way more affable than he ever been, right? Like, Riddle was kind of like this awesomely talented dude, but he's really just like a super fan of Randy Orton at the same time. So it kind of allowed everybody else to kind of embrace Orton as this like, yeah, you're kind of evil and yeah, you might turn on me, but I still love you, bro, because you're fucking awesome. And it's cool. I thought it was really dope. So if as far as Bobby Lashley is concerned, I mean, the LA Knight thing could be cool. If the Andre is on Friday and it sets up something on Saturday or Sunday, I think that could be cool. But I would love a Randy Orton sort of something involved with him.
We're going to fantasy book a little bit with the surrounding the WrestleMania main event later on in the show. But if I were fantasy booking Bobby Lashley, I think I would leave LA Knight doing whatever Stone Cold Stunner situation is they had him to do. Maybe he was going to be the Randy Orton confrontation. So you'd have to do something else. But if it were me, I would just do, and it was physically possible, I would do Lashley Orton unannounced and give him 15 minutes and just let people like get excited about the existence of the match and excited about a second match. I mean, those are two guys who could just go on that stage and have a really, you know, it does a really good job of setting them both up as main guys because they'd just be facing each other, you know? So
I got a question, Dave. Mm-hmm? Of all the spots that you can have on WrestleMania, right? Mm-hmm. There's the Royal Rumble winner. There's the champ. Mm-hmm. There's the opener.
Which is going to be Cena Theory. Which is going to be Cena Theory. For the Saturday opener, yeah.
And now there is that fourth coveted spot of the surprise return, right, at WrestleMania. Last year it was Cody Rhodes. A couple years back, I think it was the Hardy Boys. And those, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin last year also. Like, there's always those surprise returns that aren't advertised, that are impromptu, that I almost think is just as coveted a spot.
Taking the stunner, you mean?
Not even taking the stunner. I mean, just that, who's it going to be that comes out? You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean Stone Cold in that role, not whoever Stone Cold comes out to face.
No, I was saying, like, if you could pick a role, like, is the surprise return at WrestleMania, like, now the third most coveted WrestleMania role? Mm-hmm. Outside of the Royal Rumble winner, the champion, and I guess the opener the main eventer or something.
Yeah, but we, you know, to what degree that person needs a big moment, I guess, is the question. But it's huge. Yeah, I mean, if there's a big active wrestler return, that's big. If it's Stone Cold or The Rock or, you know, The Rock not wrestling a match or The Undertaker coming out and chokeslam, I mean, that's obviously one of the biggest moments of the weekend, but it's not like him. We should break down all the roles because now there's double roles, right?
Yes.
Like Cena versus Theory will be the night one opener, right? And that's a sort of, it's both a very conscientious spot, like big, you know, all eyeballs on them spot on them, but it's also a sort of, you know, favor from John Cena. I'm going to make sure everybody's watching when the show kicks off on Saturday, right? I actually think if it were me, if I weren't Cody Rhodes and I was booking myself, I would probably, I might choose the night two opener as the ideal spot, because night one, people are going to be into it, but I think at the beginning, they're going to be a little bit guarded, you know, it's like saving the energy for this long 2 day slog to, you know, that we have in front of us. The night two opener, people are going to be ready to just rip off, man. I mean, and it's, if you give them a good show, that's the place to be. You know, you probably don't want to be in the middle of night one, ideally. But if you're, I mean, but all these roles are sort of ambiguous, right? If you wanted to just, I mean, I think anybody would probably rightfully choose to be in the Sami Zayn role, which is just sort of, you know, the underdog, whatever, that everybody actually is going to act like they wish was in the main event. I mean, that's what, who wouldn't want to be in that role? These are all very vague roles, but man, I mean, I just can't even imagine. I can't even, I mean, listen, we've all had literal dreams of ourselves wrestling matches. We've talked about it on this show.
Yes.
But I mean, I can't even imagine opener, walking down that aisle for the main event with Cody Rhodes, with, he said it's going to be more pyro than the world has ever seen going off.
I can't wait for
He's probably going to have like 15 weight belts so he can just keep handing them out to kids as he walks down the aisle. Every 20 feet, a different kid gets a belt. It's going to be freaking crazy, man.
Actually fly down to the ring like Homelander. Like, they might actually put an actual cape on him and have him just float to the ring like he was Homelander. I hope so.
You remember that cape? Remember the jacket he had in AEW that was like the length of the entire ramp?
it looked like a wedding.
Yeah, a wedding train or whatever. Yeah, yeah, man. I don't know how you outdo that. I think they got to figure it out. You can't ever
stunt on the pageantry that Cody Rhodes goes for every time, right? Like, he definitely like spares no expense when it comes to making sure he looks like the biggest deal fucking possible.
Is this a dome stadium or no? I don't even know.
Yeah, SoFi's domed. So it'll be indoors.
That would be cool if the entire interior of the dome fell in. And it turned out that it was just the train of Cody's jacket, you know, so he's like in the ring, everybody's covered in this white cloth and it's all connected to Cody Rhodes. That would be, we're all a part of this whole thing.
And we're all just like holding it up so it doesn't get dusty.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Pun intended.
No pun intended.
That would be fantastic. Dang. Did you ever walk the aisle when you were working at WWE?
A couple times,
not during the show, obviously, but like...
No. Definitely, like it's definitely very arresting, right? Like in rehearsals, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, sometimes, you know, just out of respect to the guys, like a lot of times you try not to, either me personally, I try not to step on the ring with like my outside shoes, because, you know, people putting their body on it and all that type of stuff. And even just out of respect for the boys, like I chose usually not to walk down the ramp, because it's like that's sacred ground. But I snuck in a few things, you know, when I was in a rush sometimes. I've had to get to Gorilla to the ring in a while. And even with nobody in the crowd, it is a very arresting thing to go from this very small, maybe like 10 by 10 room with, you know, your bosses and a bunch of computers and screens. And then you go out and it's just a sea of just fucking people. You know what I mean? Like, it's dope. It's very arresting, but like out of respect for the folks who have like legitimately like put their bodies on the line to like walk down that aisle, I just always try to be like, all right, that's them. Don't do that. As big as a fan as you are, as much as you grew up on this shit, like, you know, have some respect for the guys who actually do this for a living, you know?
Yeah, that's important to know. At WrestleMania 31 was the closest, this is not the everything is going to be couch here. The closest I've ever felt like a kid in a candy store to being on an aisle. I was not walking down the aisle at all, but I was at WrestleMania 31 in the old, the ringer was going. So I wasn't part of, Rosenberg and I weren't doing cheap eat together, but I was sitting with Rosenberg and I think Greg and Dip, and definitely Rosenberg and Dip. But we had to leave early because, like, I don't know, we're trying to get out of the stadium or something like that. Okay. So we were going to go watch the end of the main event from like the ramp. I mean, from like the exit. Right. So we're running down the aisle. We're on the floor running backwards to get out, like as the match is going on. And then Rollins comes in to cash in. And so we're going the opposite direction from him, like 100 feet away from him. You know, we're walking down just the aisle of the freaking floor of the stadium, and he's running down the thing, and we're all like turning around trying to see what's happening. But it was serious. It felt like this weird mirror, like Funhouse mirror version of walking down the aisle. And I was just, that moment in general is one of the highest moments of my WrestleMania experience. You know what I mean? Like, how cool is that?
Gosh, but, I was, yeah, insane. That's like Waters, such
Brian,
a...
Brian, what's your top WrestleMania in-person moment, Brian?
Oh, last year. Before, so you know, I couldn't take the, I couldn't have the equipment with me at my seat. Mm-hmm. So I went in.
Because we were, that's when we did the backstage Cody interview?
Yeah.
So you had to come in through all the security and stuff with your stuff and then leave it backstage.
Yeah, I had to leave it backstage. So naturally, I'm seeing The Miz and the Usos back there, you know, just kind of getting stuff together. I see Rosenberg comes over, he speaks. So then they said, all right, you can go to your seats now. But it's literally 10, 20 minutes before the doors open. So I'm sitting there just taking everything in, and I'm like, wow, in a few minutes, like, this place is going to be filled. And I'm seeing KO and Stone Cold, you know, just kind of talking at ringside, mm-hmm. you know, preparing for their match. I'm seeing Bianca and Becky with Tyson Kidd going over things. And I just remember being like, wow, this is incredible. And then obviously last year going back there, and there was a point when I was waiting for you to come back. I'm standing there in the room, and I'm like standing there with Titus O'Neil, and he's just, you know, getting ready. I guess he was getting changed, put his suit back on, get ready to go back out there. And I'm just like, wow. And watching Ronda and Charlotte's mm-hmm. match on the screen. So yeah, last year was amazing.
Because of the access.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, it's nuts.
I actually was looking at the pictures the other day. I don't know if I sent you the pictures of you when I was doing the test camera shots, but mm-hmm. you were just like posing with the WrestleMania.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man. The first time in 32 in Dallas, I've told this story before, but we were at the... I think I was with Stack Guy Greg, and we were at the there's like a little like luncheon thing before Mania, and we had to get from there to wherever we were, or the I don't know what where we were trying to get, but one of the PR guys was just like, oh, I got you, come with me. And it was like 10 minutes before the doors opened, and they just walked us through Arlington Stadium, AT&T Stadium, and this was right when it opened, right? I mean, relatively speaking, and it was empty. And we just walked through the whole thing. And for a moment, him and I just sat down, you know, in this empty stadium looking at the ring, just like, holy shit, man, this is going to be a weekend. And it was, it's wow.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
It's going to be a huge week.
I can't wait, man. It's usually my favorite week of the year, you know. It's just not just, you know, the amazing moments at, you know, WWE's been like really kind to us all individually and collectively as a show. So our WrestleMania experiences are definitely A1. But not just that, man, like all the other wrestling shows going around happening throughout the weekend. I know Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor is going down, GCW for the culture. I know a lot of FTR is having a live podcast. We're having our stuff. Major Brothers, Cardona, Myers. I mean, it's like, if you've never been to a town when a WrestleMania is in town and you're a wrestling fan, it's almost, I'd want to say that it's akin to like the NBA finals or whatever, but it's not. It's more akin to the Super Bowl, because it just feels like wrestling takes over the entire city. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know, when the Super Bowl's in town or the NBA finals are in town, there's like other NBA games going on or other, you know, football games happening that, you know, can get you excited. But that's the cool thing about this weekend, you know. And on top of that, man, it's in Los Angeles. It really is a weekend that makes you really like happy to kind of do this, you know. And wow. Really makes it like kind of it's I feel like every year I kind of do a little I take a little inventory on like where I was last year, you know what I mean. And last year, obviously, Wale Mania just became a father. Right after that, went straight to the Final Four. And it happened so fast, I almost feel like I didn't really get to enjoy it as much as I wanted to last year, because I was just, my mind was in a million different places. But Same. Then I just think about years prior to that, where, you know, New York, Tampa, New Orleans, Orlando, Dallas, Santa Clara. You think about all those cities and all those moments. And I just remember my first WrestleMania that I got to like cover as a guest host, writer, journalist, was that when I was at the Source magazine. And this was, I want to say, WrestleMania 27 that The Rock was hosting in Atlanta. And I was all the way up in the press box, which is literally, you know, I could high five Jesus up there, right? Like, that's how high up I was. But I was just so happy to just be in there and just be like, yo, I watched this in my house growing up with my dad and my mom, all, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm here. And I was just so happy just to be in the building and to see, you know, just how much my love for this thing has not
what
just
year,
got.
What year was that?
This is WrestleMania 27, I want to say. This is The Miz versus John Cena.
I was in the press box for that one too, but I don't remember seeing you up there. That's so funny. Yeah, we knew each other then.
We did.
I got some food and made my way down to the floor.
You did the smart thing. Every year after that, though, I started figuring out the jig and starting to mosey my way down there. And then obviously, WrestleMania 31 was probably my favorite. Like, that was WrestleMania 31 was such like a pivotal WrestleMania for me, because that was the first year we did the Wale Mania. And that was the year me and Wale was front row, like literally front row, hard camera side, sitting next to The Rock's family, sitting next to the Four Horsewomen, Shayna and Ronda, watching, you know what I mean, the heist of the century and Seth Rollins. And I still have it on the shitty BlackBerry camera that I had back then. But like, it's so crazy looking back at it now and just being like, yo, this was like the WrestleMania that really, really got me in, like really got me back in to be like, okay, this is fucking special. You know what I'm saying? And every year since then, it's just gotten crazier and crazier experiences. So I'm just grateful. I'm excited. I'm happy I get to do the show with you, Dave. I don't think I get to thank you enough for kind of like bringing me on and making this whole thing sort of, you know, a thing that we can all eat off of and do some really cool cultural work with pro wrestling. So it's a great time to kind of reflect and being like, wow, like we're here again. And you know, I'm really excited, man.
Yeah, I'll take thanks. I'll take all gratitude in terms of cash envelopes, cash filled envelopes.
Do you take Zelle, sir?
Yeah. We're doing this Pennsylvania wedding style, man. Whatever you can afford.
Real shit, man. I don't get to thank you publicly enough, man, for everything you kind of do with the Ringer Wrestling feed and all the, you know, shows you help put together and just turning this into a destination for not just wrestling fans, but wrestlers themselves. And it's a lot of that is thanks to you, man. So, bro,
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. It really means a lot to me. You know, I wake up almost every day and I think, like, what can I do today so that Brian Waters can afford another replica championship belt? You know, like, what? what can I do to keep this train running, man?
I definitely appreciate it as well. You know, like last year, just real quick, being, you know, backstage and we was waiting for Cody and Dave just kind of looked at me and was like, ready for this, man? This is so fucking awesome.
Yo, I was so happy to see that, by the way, like, because I knew it was your first WrestleMania. I'm like, can you imagine this being your first working WrestleMania? And you're not just working it. You're backstage with like the motherfucker who just blew the house down. You know what I mean? Like doing it's been into some incredible experiences we've got to make on this show, man. And I don't know why we gotten so reflective just now, but it's, you know, it's WrestleMania week, man.
Everybody's like, I can't wait to hear him talk about Roman Reigns and wrestling Cody Rhodes.
We got a shit ton of shows coming up this week.
So we talked about, to get us back on track a little bit, we'll reminisce more as the week goes on. We talked about all the matches that we're going to have. I want to talk a little bit about matches that we're not going to get at WrestleMania. And I don't mean to make this whole thing feel like a downer, but some news came out, I think it was Meltzer, I'll double check this, about the original plans for the two women's titles at WrestleMania, that it was supposed to be Rhea Ripley versus Ronda Rousey for the SmackDown title and Bianca Belair versus a returning Charlotte Flair for the Raw title.
Which is what I thought was going to happen too.
Now, there was some question about whether or not Ronda got hurt, but it does seem like the whole thing turned on her request to be put into a tag team with Shayna Baszler. Which is, I think, in a vacuum, like a really cool move. And there's a lot more fun things you could do with that. And I think that's something most fans can get behind. But then in what I think matters is the moment after that, where if you take Ronda Rousey out of the equation, WWE made the decision to go with Ripley Flair and Belair Asuka, right? Which are both going to be bangers. I mean, I'm excited about all those matches. But I remember at the time, when Rhea Ripley won the Royal Rumble, we all said, the money match is Bianca Belair. Let's go with Ripley Belair. You know, the future of the company. This is your whatever. Your Triple H rock. You know, like, if this is going to be the feud, these are going to be the icons for a long time, or, you know, whatever.
Your Batista Cena, your Cena Ortons, that type of thing, yeah.
And they went the other way with it, which I think has made the whole thing a little bit unclear, because I do want to break these down. I think that they're not giving as much time to either of those feuds as they could. I don't think they're wasting a lot of time. They're giving them screen time and there's a lot of other stuff going on. But I think the big issue with them is this is really, really old, an old school, old man complaint. But I feel like we don't really know who Bianca Belair is a baby face. The other three of them, I don't really know. I don't really know. And here's the issue. One, Charlotte Flair is nominally playing baby face. But this side of Paul Bearer, I don't know who is a less convincing, I mean, a baby face, right? I mean, it's like Paul Bearer obviously had some baby face runs. I'm just saying Charlotte works as a heel, right? Mm-hmm. She can work as a megalomaniac. She can work as a person who thinks she's a baby face, right? She can work as a baby face in the right feud. But like the notion of a face turn doesn't really work for her. She's a sort of, she's like Roman Reigns in some sense, where he's going to be playing this character forever. And if the fans are cheering him for a while, it's not going to be because he's saying suffering, succotash, and kissing babies, right? We don't need a turn.
A sidebar. Did you see what Ronda Rousey posted on Instagram yesterday?
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, about the octogenarians. So we can say that the octogenarian, man.
I was like, what is the 80-year-olds?
So,
okay.
So she says, here, let me pull it up right now.
Imagine you only live once, Liv Morgan feud could have been if we weren't hamstrung by a bunch of octogenarians who think they know how to be hip while putting less than 5 minutes of thought into each woman's storyline.
The interesting thing about that is I know it's hyperbolic, but I don't know who these octogenarians are besides Vince. Like, no one is actually that old besides Vince, right? I guess you could say, you know, Pritchard's kind of old, but not really. And he looks young as hell.
Got gray hair.
Triple H. Are we talking about Triple H? Are we talking about Paul Heyman? Who, I know Paul Heyman worked with her directly for all of her storylines, but I know she has a good relationship with him. So that's kind of wild. It's that part of it is weird.
I don't know. It kind of feels
but I think that it's true. I mean, listen, I do think that there's some wisdom to when you have a feud like Ronda Rousey and Liv Morgan, something that's not driven by the past 6 months or 6 years of pro wrestling history. There's not a huge backstory. It's a thing like even if it's a placeholder, we got to make this work. I mean, it's not like you got a couple of old hands in the ring, but I still feel like that's a situation where it's like you might be better suited just to say, folks, go out there and do what you want to do. Like, you figure this out. We have producers work with you, but give people some freedom, you know, because maybe they could have made it really cool. And what's the downside? You get something like what you got. Right. You know, I mean, it's kind of weird, but
I'll be honest, though. I mean, if I could keep it a stack, I can't say the women's storylines have been greatly explained and thought out outside of like the last week. And all it was, okay, they finally got physical. But I mean, you won't catch me agreeing with Ronda Rousey as much. But I mean, I'll be honest.
You're talking about the matches heading into WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, the women's storylines definitely have not gotten the attention or, I guess, the special care that the other storylines have gotten. That's true. You know, like, we really haven't really seen Bianca and Asuka really get into anything except like some mist in the face and some weird facial expressions. I mean, Rhea and Charlotte were kind of like circling the waters for several months before they finally got physical. And Rhea's been doing a bunch of other stuff with the Judgment Day.
The problem is that Rhea's doing all this other stuff. And also, I understand that, like, in order for the Hell in a Cell match to work, in order for Dom Rey to work, I guess Judgment Day has to be like more of a heelish faction than not. I mean, they have to be pretty purely heels, right?
For sure.
But if they weren't wrestling those matches, if it were just Judgment Day as Judgment Day and everybody's like super into this Dom storyline on its own, you know, and like whatever else, like Rhea Ripley would be getting the cheers. Like, Rhea Ripley is in a position because of her own excellence that like she would be chosen by the fans as the babyface in this match. Right. I mean, she might still be the one getting the big cheers at WrestleMania. So that part of it, putting her up against Charlotte, I think has a tension that's sort of unintended, but it's sort of inevitable. And then the same thing with Asuka. I mean, we don't know if, you know, she was obviously coming to Bianca Belair's defense, you know, for a while. And there, I like the ambiguity that they built into that. But they're not stories that, I mean, at least if you
they're
did
stories, but they're not WrestleMania level stories.
If you did Ripley Belair, the WrestleMania story would be built into it, right? Yeah. I mean, these are the two pillars of this division.
Do you think there's a mode of thinking? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I'm not trying to make excuses for anybody. Do you think that there's a possibility that they're holding off on Bianca Charlotte, Bianca Rhea, because the main events, the bloodline storylines, Cody Roman, KO, Sammy, and the Usos have taken so much real estate as far as importance in WrestleMania?
Listen, you can definitely imagine that conversation taking place. Let's say these biggest big women's division matches for when we need a pay-per-view main event. Right. You know?
I almost feel like putting Bianca Charlotte or Bianca Rhea in a match that's not the main event would almost be a disservice to them and lowest the keys. You know what I mean? Like, that's a Bianca Belair Charlotte Flair title match main events anywhere on the planet. So does a Bianca.
I'm glad that you're talking about.
Match.
I'm glad you're invoking the Flair name as your. I hope that we get a video of this where while your watch is shining a light in my face.
Oh,
there's just like
oh,
the diamonds. The diamonds are blaring light. In the,
now I got to keep it here just so you know to the bling bling.
I think that's feasible. I think that in general that's a terrible way to make decisions. You know, I think always put your best foot forward, your best match on the card. You always do what you could do. But
because there's no guarantee that Bianca and Rhea or Charlotte are all healthy this time next year. You know what I mean? Or you know, I've always been a proponent of give us the best match you can every single night out because you can't take these people's health for granted.
We're going to look at WrestleMania betting odds later this week, but my guess is that Bianca Belair is probably one of the most odds-on favorites for the entire card because I don't think... I mean, and listen, Asuka could win, and I think that this feels like it potentially could be one of those giant match, AEW-style giant match, but it's actually the start of a feud matches, you know?
Right.
So Asuka could win, who knows? I think Bianca Belair probably in LA at WrestleMania is, you know, the value of her winning or retaining there probably outweighs whatever story they're telling. But but the Ripley-Flair one is a really interesting question. I think that if I had to bet real money on it, I would probably go with Charlotte. But the reason that I would go with her is the same reason that I would argue for Rhea Ripley, which is that Rhea Ripley's got this other thing going on, right? Does it make it too weird for the Judgment Day storyline to inject a women's championship into the group shot, you know, and or just, you know, a championship that's not, you know, around Finn's waist pretty much, you know, or a you know, whatever. But at the same time, man, that
makes
could be
it
the,
look way badass, though. If she's the that, only well, one, but
also, and also that could be the path forward, right? Also, Rhea Ripley is the world champion, and not just Dom, but you know, the other maybe there are other people in the group that start looking to her as the leader, right? Maybe Priest starts looking at Rhea instead of looking at Finn. And I know there's not a leader in the group, but clearly there's a leader in the group. Maybe this is what causes Finn to eventually split off from the group. You know, there's a lot of things you could do with it. And I do think for the, you know, it would be probably the right move for like the mommy era to begin in earnest, you know, just put the belt around her waist. But it is interesting to think about. And now we got Ronda Rousey working a tag match, a multi-team tag match that we're still sort of figuring out the rules for. And am I crazy or did Becky Lynch teased that she's working night one for her trip for against Damage Control and might be doing a tag match night two. Is that, did she say something like that?
I didn't see that. Well,
Brian, will you check on that? What? I might be absolutely nuts. But so maybe they're going to figure out a way to get the get a Baszler Rousey tag match on a night two against the tag champions or something. That would be interesting, but they're obviously not going to, they're not going to do that with the men's multi-tag team match, presumably. So who knows? Or maybe they do. Maybe they put the Usos versus Zayn and Owens on night one. Maybe Zayn and Owens win, and then maybe they defend against, you know, whoever against Braun and Ricochet on night two. Whoever
beard
wins
and
that.
Bald.
Yeah,
the bald and the beard.
Yeah. So who knows? Did you see that picture, by the way, of Cody Rhodes carrying Braun on his shoulders at the house show this weekend?
Yeah, I saw his pec screaming as well.
Yeah,
I'm like, yo.
Braun is
You sure you want to do this a week before WrestleMania?
But Braun was grinning ear to ear, too. That was the best part about it. Braun, who has the most like resting sad face of any professional wrestler in the history of mankind, was just grinning ear to ear, man.
Insane.
Okay.
So Becky said on the Tom Tierman show that she will be facing Damage Control. And because she's a tag team champion, she's hoping that she'll defend the titles on night two so that she can be Becky two fights.
Okay. So it's a little bit conjectural. Okay. Why would you put that out there? Oh, my God.
Would that help the tag titles? Can you imagine a match Becky and Lita versus Ronda and Shayna?
I think that'd be awesome. I think anything and to get big names in that spot, too. You talked a little bit about the whole weekend. Earlier, I don't know if you've seen the entire like pro wrestling schedule for WrestleMania weekend, starting with, I believe, 8 p.m. Wednesday, Pandemonium Pro Wrestling, the best damn thing. There's like multiple indie cards a night all the way through. And as you say indie, I mean, these calendars obviously include the like Impact New Japan multiverse. Like, you know, there's Ring of Honor, Super Guard of Honor. Speedball Mike Bailey is working, I think, 14 matches in the span of 3 days. That's an exaggeration, but he's definitely going to be the marathon man that everybody's talking about after this weekend. There's so much going on. And we're going to get to go to some of that stuff, and it's going to be fun. And, you know, this is the only, I mean, I'll get out of the weeds, but the only problem with LA for a thing like this is that
travel.
People, yeah. The travel, man. And it's not just that things are far apart and everything, driving takes forever in LA. That's a given. But you also get in these situations where like these out of town promotions come in. They're like, you know, they book a venue because the people at the venue were like, oh yeah, we're in LA. We promise, you know? And then it's just like 2.5 hours. It's
actually Inglewood.
Yeah.
It's way out the way.
And the arena itself is not, I mean, the best WrestleManias, guys, if you're not going to WrestleMania this year and you're planning a WrestleMania trip, you got to go someday. Wait for a walkable city, man. There is nothing like New Orleans where you can all just walk with the mob mm-hmm. over to the stadium, and then you can walk to the basket, to the Smoothie King arena for Raw and all the other stuff. I mean, those are that is WrestleMania weekend. And you get there on, if you're lucky enough to be able to like take a week like we do, you get there on Tuesday or Wednesday and you just walk into the streets. Day one, you're like, ah, I'm on a vacation. Day two, a couple of pro wrestling t-shirts start popping up in the back corners of the cafes. By day three, it's just small little tufts of wrestling fans walking up and down the street. And then day four, it's like, you can't go. Day two, you walk up to the bar or the hotel check-in or whatever. And they're like, are you here for this wrestling thing I keep hearing about? And they're interested to talk about it. By Friday, they don't want to talk about it anymore. They're just like, please tell me you're regular.
Dallas perfectly.
That is Dallas. Yeah.
I remember Tuesday last year, it was so quiet that night. And we went out to eat. And that was the first time I had met Kerm. And so, you know, we went out to eat and it was just so quiet. And I was like, Dallas is kind of boring. Man, that Thursday night between going there and then going to Deep Ellum, I mean, it was wrestling fans everywhere, especially after Wally Mania.
Mm-hmm. Got it. One of my lasting memories, the first time I ever covered a Mania was Miami. And I went for the whole week and just got to chill out by the, you know, went to the beach, the pool, like did that whole thing. And WrestleMania weekend at that point was super low key. WWE didn't have obviously two nights, and even the indie stuff was like nothing. They had the fan, I mean, what's it called? The WrestleFest was like
$5. Oh yeah.
It was like 15 minutes up the beach, you know, at like a different hotel in like North Miami Beach. And it was pretty low key, but there weren't enough taxis for the whole thing. I've told the story a million times, but I remember I left my hotel and tried to call a car to get up to WrestleMania. And the guy was like, I don't know, man, I would go over to whatever the main drag is and just try to flag one down. I went over there. And as far as the eye could see, there were just wrestling fans like in their full on like event costumes, like cosplay and everything, just like trying to flag down the three taxis that were left in the city. What a town Miami is. All right.
That was the first one I went to. So yeah, I remember that.
I want to just stipulate now, talking about the weekend, that Speedball Mike Bailey is the preemptive, the MVP for the weekend front runner going in. There's a lot of big shows I think that everybody's excited to see. Supercard of Honor. I mean, we haven't talked enough about Ring of Honor, but dude, that's gonna be a freaking show, man. And they obviously have a history running that stuff. So I mean, running that weekend. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. The Impact show is going to be absolutely bonkers. The aforementioned Mike Bailey is going up against Will Ospreay. So, I mean, what else do you need to know? So there's a lot of fun stuff. Spring Break. Oh, I totally forgot about Joey Janela's Spring Break, of course. And that's Mike Bailey versus Vikingo is happening on that show. So, I mean,
he's got a lot of matches too.
Vikingo, yeah. He's going up against Laredo Kid the next day on Saturday at the Gringo Loco show. And yeah, there's so much stuff, but let's just talk right now before we get out of here. Let's look at WrestleMania, the actual granddaddy of them all.
The granddaddy.
Mm-hmm. Give me. We got to do the fantasy booking.
Yes.
Dang. Okay. I want to know the low key thing you're most excited for about WrestleMania. But first, let's do the fantasy slam. We could do the abbreviated version. How are you splitting up the two championship belts and not make it feel like a demotion?
I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns shows up on Monday, still the champion.
Oh, so he retains.
He retains. And he says, I'm done. Takes one title off, takes another title off, lays him in the middle of the ring. And he said, I beat them all. I've done it all. Anybody who wants to come see me, you can have it. I'm out. Just as he's about to walk out the ring, a ton of people. Cody comes out. Sammy comes out. Everybody who's had something to do with this bloodline story comes out. And they say, oh, no, 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 no. We said we were going to bring the bloodline down. You're not going to go up to your little, you're not going to go to your little fancy planes, hotels, whatever. You're getting out of here by hands and feet only. And then Adam Pearce comes out and he says, oh no, Roman, you're not relinquishing those titles. You're going to defend those titles tonight, the night after WrestleMania in the Crypto.com arena. And if you think just because you retained in some nefarious way last night against Cody Rhodes, I've been giving you such a, I've been giving you the illest schedule because I know exactly what you mean to this company.
And what you've been through.
And what you've been through. But in all honesty, I haven't made you defend these two titles ever.
Yeah.
So from now on, you will be here on SmackDown and here on Raw, defending both titles as a double champion. Of course, Roman's pissed. And then now he defends against Cody again, loses to Cody. Goes up against, I don't know, whoever's going to be the Universal Championship challenger. Let's just say for shits and giggles, a heel Drew McIntyre. All right, because I feel like he's turning a little bit heel lately. He retains the Universal Championship, though. So I think the simple thing is Pierce just saying, hey, you did some bullshit at WrestleMania last night, and I've given you a lot of leeway because you've been a double champion, but now it's time for you to be a double champion and defend both of these titles like your brothers did that you haven't had to do. So he goes and defends them, and he defends the WWE World Championship, and he loses that to Cody. The very next week, he has a matchup against either Drew or Seth. And just when you think he's going to retain or lose that title, he retains it. So you keep Roman Reigns the Universal Champion. But the next day, you have Cody lose. It's a probably terrible pitch. It's probably why.
But I think that's really the right direction. I think my only issue, I was thinking in that way too.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but the only thing that gets me on that is Adam Pearce, and I love Scrap Daddy. I think he's a great character. I think he's, you know, one of the all-time legends. I feel like whoever actually forces Roman to relinquish the titles is going to be such an intrinsic part of the storyline. This is one of those moments where it calls for, obviously not Vince, but someone of like that. It calls for a Vince McMahon moment, you know, like I'm taking the belts off you. I'm in charge here. Right?
Yeah.
And so we're not going to have him, or presumably not going to have Nick Khan or even Triple H come down and, like, you know, take the belts off of him. Here's what I was thinking. There've been a lot of talk. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but a lot of whispers in the margins around WWE right now that all the good stuff in WWE is Paul Heyman related, Paul Heyman adjacent, right? That he's the one sort of pulling the creative strings for a lot of this stuff. What if the night after WrestleMania, Roman Reigns retains? What if we actually tap into some reality and have Roman Reigns say that I won? It was maybe one of the biggest victories of my life, but everybody knows that we, the bloodline, own this company. And I talked to the powers that be, and I had one request, and that was that the man who's the real creative genius in this company be put in that spot. And Paul Heyman gets on screen elevated to general manager, showrunner, whatever you want to call it. And they bask in the glory of it all. The bloodline is finally, like, the mob has finally taken over the city. Everything's great. And then you start turning, you can slow walk it because this is the bloodline. You start turning that screw too. Paul Heyman suddenly flush with all this power and dealing with the insecurity of failure for a second or third or fourth or fifth or whatever time says, you know, it's probably best for business is having a separate title on each show. You know, And then he is the one that takes the belt off Roman Reigns. He's the one that starts making this rule. Well, you got to defend both titles. I don't want to take it away, Roman, but you understand we got to make money. And what's best for business is you know, you is someone defending these belts on both nights. And then you can, and then all of a sudden Heyman becomes the power player and becomes the sort of reason that the bloodline splits up.
I like that. I think that's the only thing that hasn't really been told, right? Like, I feel like after last year, after Roman became double champ, the first thing he said was, I want more gold. And then he went and made the Usos go and get the Raw Tag Team titles, which they did. And it would make all the sense in the world for him to be like, same thing to Solo, same thing to Paul. Time for you to really get going, man. Time for you to get your, you know, step your game up, you know? So maybe they run a hostile takeover of the company. Mm-hmm. Get Adam Pearce out of there, put Paul Heyman in. I like that. Once again, Dave, you have, oh my gosh, have you seen this?
What?
Oh, I'm just scrolling through my Twitter. As we're speaking, breaking news.
What?
According to WrestleVotes via Give Me Sport, Triple H has quote unquote approved the design of a new WWE World Championship.
Oh my gosh. Allegedly. Brian Waters is literally just fell over in his chair. I want that GIF, Brian. I don't care what other social media content you put up. I want that to exist.
Oh my God.
Brian, yes. With two replica belts behind him as he's speaking this. Brian, oh my God.
According to the report from WrestleVotes, they said there's a new belt. Don't know for sure if it's getting a new name. I don't know if one of the titles is going away, but there's a new belt that WWE has made and decision makers have approved. Like, if they wanted to introduce it on TV tomorrow, they could. Those boxes are checked, end quote. Huh.
Just hope it don't leak. I don't want it to leak. I want it the first time I see it to be on television.
Are we getting Winged Eagle? Is the Winged Eagle coming back?
What if it's that, like, you know, the Triple H meme face of him, like, with like the real like sourpuss look on his face, like whatever. What if it's just that, like, a gold version of Triple H's face right in the middle of a belt?
Oh gosh, could be. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited though.
It's really cool. I mean, it's gonna have a giant logo. They've, like, as much as shit as we talked over the years, that was a brilliant move to brand every professional sports victory parade as a WWE event. You know, I mean, but it'll be really cool. I mean, maybe not though. They've been making a lot of very old school decisions, you know, a lot of fan service in that direction. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Also, if they split up the belts, I always like the idea of the belts looking different, but it does make it easier to separate them in significance in your mind, right? You know, there's the belt that matters and then there's the other belt, you know, and it's a different thing. I don't know. It'll be really interesting, man. I can't wait to see. My guess is that, I mean, does that make it more likely that Roman Reigns will lose or that he will win?
I don't know. It kind of makes it seem more likely that
if they're not going to split up the belt to me, why? Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
Might be Cody's time, man.
Assuming they don't split up the belts as part of the WrestleMania angle, which would be sort of ham-fisted anyway, who does it make more sense to have show up with a new belt on Monday? Cody or Roman Reigns? Probably on its face, Cody. But you could easily write that Roman Reigns bit, you know?
Definitely Cody.
Oof. Okay, well, we'll factor that into our picks when we do them later this week. We're going to have tons of shows this week, by the way, for everybody listening. I think we officially have, like, more than one a day, obviously, for the rest of the week. We have the regular daily shows, and then we're going to be doing some interviews. We're going to be doing some picks. I have a secret bonus pod with a friend of mine coming up, and there's going to be lots and lots of content. So whether or not you're going to LA, make sure you block out like 12 hours this week just to listen to our podcast content. It's going to be well worth it.
Can't wait.
All right, before we get out of here, last thing. What is the low-key thing on the WrestleMania card that you're looking forward to the most? What is the thing that might surprise some people that you're looking forward to the most? And Brian, I want an answer from you too.
I've been telling people since it was announced, Brock Omos is about to be fucking awesome. And all the people that shit on the match leading up to it, you're not allowed to say it's awesome when it turns out to be awesome, okay? When Brock and Omos do some cartoonishly hilarious monster shit that could only happen in WrestleMania, I mean, as many times as we've seen freaking Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant. Over under at least a million times, we're going to see Brock Lesnar F5-ing a 7'4" Omos on that new. I think I almost think that's the reason why they're doing this. They need a new signature in the beginning of the WWE show. And as many times as we've seen Andre getting slammed by Hogan, we will see Brock F5-ing Omos for years and years to come.
There's a lot of talk about Brock's contract situation. There was that, you know, there were some rumors a while back that he was saying goodbye after his last appearance to people backstage, and whether or not that was a sort of negotiation strategy. It does seem like he's looking for one more year. Like he wants one more year from WWE, and then he's going to put himself out to pasture. But I think that that match will be a good indication of whatever they have in store for him, right? I mean, if he's just like, if they're going to mutually part ways, which would be a wild decision on both sides, you know, maybe we see the big, you know, maybe we see Omos
the big swan song,
get some F5s in there, you know, let him take the finisher too. All right, Brian, what are you looking forward to the most?
Hell in the Cell. The fourth Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania, Edge and Finn Balor. Edge, to be honest with you, has disappointed me in a few of his WrestleMania matches.
I thought you were going to say, Edge has disappointed me as a human being over the past.
No, see, like, I was an Edge guy, and then he retired. He came back. I was excited, and I haven't been, like, excited since, besides the match with him and Orton at Backlash that one year. But I'm really excited for this match. I think that they're going to, you know, really go out there and show out, so. That's the one.
Yeah, that might have been mine. And then I sort of settled on a non-specific match, which was, I'm very excited about Finn Balor and Gunther and just the way that they come out of WrestleMania, because I think both of them are going to come out looking like $1 trillion. Yeah. They're like, every match that's not, this is compliments to the booking department, I guess, but just about every match that's not a high level, like one of the absolute main event matches, has such high stakes for somebody in it, you know? Mm-hmm. You have like Austin Theory, you have Gunther, Edge. Obviously the guys that are in the tag match, you know, for KO and Sami Zayn, although they're already up there. There's just so much of the future of the company at stake. And I think that's what you really got to, it's good to see WWE, you know, at least, whether or not it's deliberate, focusing on that stuff. Anyway. Well, that's it, man. Everybody go get some rest. We got traveling and a lot of other stuff to do.
I'm in charge of my social battery all week, man. So I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's
be
get
sure
it.
Be sure to come out and see us all Friday. Or sorry, what's the date? I don't have my stuff in front of me. It's on Thursday, right? Sorry.
Thursday before Wally Mania at 5 p.m.
Be sure on Thursday of WrestleMania week, be sure you come out. Wally Mania doors open at 7. Right. If you don't have your tickets, get your tickets. And before that, right, like 20 feet away at Tom's Watch Bar in LA Live, we're going to have a little meet and greet, you know, just come in, ask them where the nerds are. We'll be there. And we're just going to, like, you know, high five people and talk to people. And you can give us your best fantasy booking for splitting up the two titles. Do whatever you want to do. We're just there to have a good time. Everybody come out. It's just a fun time to hang. The whole weekend's going to be a fun time to hang, you know?
Can't wait. Let's get it.
If you see us in person at the meet and greet or elsewhere, please say hi. Please say hi. We love talking to people that listen to the show. All 18 of you are our best friends in the world. Kaz, you want to get your plugs in?
You know what it is. Wally Mania. Doors open at 7. Kicking it off with the Bloodline. DJ MechDot, Poo Kid, DJ Money, TJ Banks. Every damn wrestler under the sun is probably going to be there. It's going to be a hell of a party. That's all I got. And I'll see you there.
Be sure you listen to all the shows in the Ringer Wrestling Show Network this week. We're, like I said, we're going to have tons of them. Until then, your wrestler of the week is David San Martino. Apologies, as always, to John Moxley. We'll see you back here on, I don't know, tomorrow, humanoids? I don't even know when we're going to be back. Just listen.